This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And good afternoon, Upstate. Welcome to another edition of Upstate Outdoors. You're listening to Philip Gentry and Tommy Springer, and we are coming to you live today from the Cabela's in Greenville. If you're a frequent customer of the Cabela's, they put our picture up.
I know it.
In the
Can you
lobby.
Believe that, dude? Last time I had this many posters of me up on it was in the post office.
It's in the post. Yes. That's why I walked in yesterday and I looked. I saw Springer's picture. I saw my picture, and I said,
"Are we going to jail?
Are we in the post office? Or are we in the Cabela's?" But welcome to the show.
Wow.
Do an Iron Man show, radio show today.
You know, it's nice to have people asking for your autograph instead of mine. Okay?
Yeah. Instead of alimony checks, right?
Yeah, whatever,
there you,
man.
There you go.
Great job. Well, Philip is amazing.
Well, I want to thank everybody this week and last week who came out to the Cabela's as part of this. The second weekend of the Crappy Madness. Not Crappie Madness.
Right.
The Crappie Madness sale event going on here. And, yeah, I've been teaching seminars. And, hey, man, thanks for Springer took the reins of the show and just ran with it last week.
It's just working with good people, that's all.
Yeah.
You know, you get two good guests and you pretty much, you know, you've been doing this long enough.
Oh, yeah.
You get the right guests, you just pretty much let them talk.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Good interview with Captain Chip.
He's
talking
fired
about
up.
Talking about sharking.
He did it again Wednesday.
I saw that.
God.
Yep.
I would give anything just to be on the boat. That's all.
I have days when I have a hard time going out and catching 6-7 bass in a day, much less 1,000-pound sharks.
Great whites.
Yeah, great white sharks.
So it's amazing what he's doing.
He's doing something right.
He's getting a lot of – his phone is staying really busy right now.
Oh, yeah. Anybody seen the dog?
Yeah. And, of course, Chris, our go-to chaplain.
Yeah. Chris has been very busy.
He's put about – I forgot how many thousands of miles this week alone, so –
So we got a great show coming up for you today. We're going to start off like we do with a lot of shows with the Upstate Outdoors blog. And what did I write about this week?
Effective use of crankbaits. I was really shocked.
Oh, yeah, effective use of crankbaits.
I was like, what?
That was like 24 hours ago. So we're going to talk about some of the methods for using crankbaits. At least here in the Cabela's experience, you know, they've done the Crappy Madness last weekend, this weekend. They've got an event that's coming up next weekend. It's going to be their spring fishing event.
Wow.
And, of course, that means a lot of bass fishing stuff. So I just thought I'd throw the crankbait.
And I'm going to tell you, you know, if you have not been to Cabela's and looked at the new and improved fishing area, oh, my gosh, you're missing out. It's totally different than it was.
And they got a great seating area.
Exactly.
If you're wanting to come in.
Yeah. And that guy that runs this place, what's his name, JD?
Yeah.
He ain't doing too bad either.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then we're going to talk with Kaylin Harbin. Kaylin is the public relations person here at the Cabela's. So we'll be talking a little bit more about some of the events they've got coming on, not just this weekend, but next weekend and into the spring. They got a lot of stuff going on. So, We're looking forward to talking with her. She's been a godsend here.
Yes.
In the last couple of weeks. Every time I turn around and say, Kaylin, I can't get this to work right. And she's like,
give me a second.
You got the batteries in upside down. Here's your glasses.
You had your Springer moment.
Something like that. So, Kaylin, looking forward to having Kaylin on the show.
Absolutely.
And then I was talking about this. I had one of the biologists from DNR was in seminar this morning. And we talked a little bit about some kind of disturbing news if you are a duck hunter.
I don't like it.
And it's not the local guys. It's not DNR that sets these laws.
No.
But the mallard limit, the limit for mallard ducks, has been cut in half for the Atlantic flyway. So a lot of folks are like, well, you know, four mallards, yeah, that – That's okay. That's going to make a decent day. Maybe we can round out a six-duck limit by getting a couple other things. Well, now they're dropping the limit down to mallards to two. So you're going to have to find, let's say you can two mallards and three wood ducks. You limit out on both of them and then hope for
you're gonna have to
a
take
teal.
You're
going
to have to take your crappy poles to the duck blind and see if you can't pick up a couple crappy.
Yeah. So go on there. So we'll talk about that. And then during the second hour, Spring is going to bring us the Roadkill Cafe.
We're eating crappy today, dog.
We're eating crappy?
We're eating crappy.
5 years and I've taught him how to pronounce the name of the fish correctly, and now he's serving it up on a plate.
Yeah, Cajun crappy with rice.
There you go.
Nice casserole.
If it's Cajun, we would have to call it Socolate.
Okay, all right. I'll remember that.
Yeah.
I'll try to anyway.
Socolate. That's how the Cajuns pronounce that fish.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about the different colloquialisms that people
it's
use
amazing.
For crappy.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And we'll also talk about some news from DNR, and that basically revolves around quail and cold water trout.
Cold water trout. Not speckled trout. Cold water trout.
Nope. Not saltwater trout, but cold water trout. And so we've got two opportunities for you to get involved either with getting more quail on your property or public land, and also where to find some of those trout. And then we got our buddy from over in the fishing department here at Cabela's, Barry Davis. I think he said he's got 11 days left. And you're like, why are you interviewing a guy who's leaving the Cabela's? Well, because he's picked up an opportunity with an outdoor company that's new to Greenville, Bonafide Kayaks. And we've talked with the president and owner of Bonafide here on Upstate Outdoors when they first got in here. So I'm really interested to talk to Barry Davis about his new adventure with Bonafide Kayaks.
Got to talk to him for a little bit. He's excited.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's excited.
I know people that would have done that job for free for about 6 months just to say, hey, I'll do it for free for 6 months if you'll just let me have the job.
Yeah.
You don't have to start paying me for 6 months.
But, Barry, wow.
Yeah, and he's earned that. He's been a good steward for the kayak fishing community.
Agreed.
And the outdoor community in the upstate as well. So looking forward to talking to Barry. We're going to give him his exit interview.
Yeah.
So talk to JD and say, hey, is there any questions you know how when you leave your employment?
Right, that's a good deal.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and knock that out too. Let him sit in there. And
put him on the spot.
And then we'll have our calendar of events. Are we still pretty loaded?
No, we're pretty loaded. And there's some that I'm actually have left out because they're such later in the spring.
Yeah.
They've got a couple that's going to run out in the next week or two, and then I'll start picking those up. So it's a steady flow of calendar of events.
And I'll tell you
which comes with the season.
And,
you know?
And the more we're out and about and we run into people say, hey, can you talk about the Wild Game Supper or the tournament that we got going
exactly.
or this event? And we're like, it's T. Springer at intercom.com.
And I'm starting to pick up some on my email finally.
Yep.
Thank you, Philip Dietrich.
Yep.
I guess if you cry wolf long enough.
you'll get wolf to talk about.
Exactly.
And then our parting shot for today, before we run back over to the fishing section and do another crappy seminar, is an anecdotal story about a professional fisherman who I don't think he was relying on his dog to back his RV into the water, but it happened anyway.
Well, look, you know, I've told many stories about the two knucklehead dogs I got at home. I could see that happening to Springer.
I could see that happening to me, except for my dog can't reach the pedals.
That's it. But mine are so big, good Lord, they just drive it right on into the lake, literally.
So we got fortunately for us, we've got kind of a cooler day. And after the summer light weather we had this week.
I loved it.
Well, I mean, it's
I bet your boat girl was just
– if you got to go to work.
It's not that good.
If you got to go to work during those summertime conditions and then you're looking forward to Saturday when it's going to be a balmy, 48
it's
degrees
about
outside?
50 maybe.
Maybe 50
Northwest
degrees and
wind.
Windy.
Yeah.
And you're like, man.
I did get 1 or 2 days last week. I got, you know, what was left of Saturday and Sunday. And it was nice. It was really nice.
Well, so – today, since that's all shot, you can come out. You can come on out to the Cabela's and listen to us, and you can. Oh, we don't have the nerve-wracking wheel today.
No, they love us.
We'll figure out a way to give you something.
Well, they got it over there. They got handled.
So we're gonna go to our break. When we come back, we'll jump into the Upstate Outdoors blog,
right here on Upstate Outdoors, live at Cabela's on 106.3 WORD. Come by and see us and get you some.
And welcome back. Upstate Outdoors is coming to you live from the Cabela's in Greenville. It's Crappy Madness, and Springer and I are in our usual spot right outside the bathroom. Did you hear the promo this
week? The
promo
week? I just couldn't do it justice. It was a good promo, but, dude, where do you come up with that stuff, man?
Well, you know.
It was hard for me to do it without, you know, just completely losing it.
I did not have a chance to listen to Bobby Mack's show. Did they play it during Bobby Mack's show?
And we even got a spot during the Rush Limbaugh show, dude.
Oh, yeah?
You know how many people were listening to the radio during the Rush Limbaugh show on 106.3?
Well,
everybody.
Well, we play his promos during our show.
Exactly.
So, you know, hey.
Cecil the Lion.
Yeah.
What's he want to do
all day?
What's
he got on his agenda today? I'm going to kill something. I could do that commercial, I mean, that promo for Rush Limbaugh.
I could too.
Well, let's talk a little bit about making effective use of crankbaits. That was his blog for this week. Thanks to Springer for reminding me. And regardless of whether you're fishing a major impoundment or a private farm pond,
that's me.
Few people could argue that crankbaits are one of the best bass catchingest baits you could tie on your line, especially during the warming weather when a bass's metabolism is picking up and they're actively chasing forage fish. Although it's often referred to as chunking and winding, there's more to fishing a crankbait than the name implies. In order to get the most from whatever crankbait you're fishing, you got to understand what the bait was designed to do, because they're not all designed to do exactly the same thing. Now, the top of the list of criteria is depth. We talked about that a lot in the crappie fishing seminars. Is depth of presentation. You got to get your bait down to where the fish are. It's not so much you just got to be in the area where he's at, but you or he or she. You got to get the bait down to the depth the fish are at. Most manufacturers will list the rated depth the bait will dive to on the packaging. And then the speed of the retrieve, and you're going to impart that with the reel handle, is next in determining how fast that bait will travel. And then you got to have a certain amount of speed in order to get it to the rated depth. Now, some baits were born to burn, while others work best doing nothing at all. A crankbait's action, you can call it wiggle if you like. That's what they call it down in Alabama.
Wiggle, wobble, whatever.
It's also important, the action. The bait may be designed to have a slow, wide wiggle or a tight, fast wiggle. Now, while all of those facets are built in by the manufacturer, there's also a few things that the angler can do to get more from the crankbait based on your actions on the other end of the rod. Now, the first one is the stop and go, and that's a retrieve that can either be fast or slow, and it's designed to elicit a reactionary strike from bass. A stop and go may be better achieved using rod in a pumping action versus just using the reel to wind and stop. Bass typically hit during the pause, which can vary in length from a split second to several seconds or even, you know, a minute.
Yeah.
Now, there's a bump and run is the next action, and that's something that's going to be imparted into the bait based on what's around the area that you're fishing. A bump and run is achieved by shallow diving crankbaits in shallow water or by deep diving or sinking baits in deeper water. Now, while we're retrieving the bait over some kind of cover, and that could be stumps, logs, timber, rocks, or whatever, you bump the bait, so you might speed it up. You know, you're winding the crankbait down along the bottom, and then you're going to speed it up so either it hits the bottom or it bumps the structure, and then you pause the retrieve.
Yep.
And that's going to mimic an injured or disoriented prey, and that'll create a lot of strikes, especially if those fish are hanging around that structure. Now, the third action that you can impart with the rod is called deflection. And now that's similar to a retrieve to the bump and run. Instead of hitting the structure, the bait makes a sudden change in the retrieval path. And this can be accomplished by reeling the bait hard to your right with the rod tip pointed perpendicular to your body, that's out to the side, and then you pause and swap the rod to the other side and reel real hard, so you kind of give a zigzagging action. An up and down deflection can be created by letting a sinking bait drop on a slow retrieve, and then you lift the rod tip and crank the bait to make it rise. Now, floating crankbait on a slow retrieve will also rise and then dip when the speed is increased while raising or lowering the rod tip. Now, the next one, and this is favorite.
This is me.
The barn burner.
The grip and rip, baby.
The grip it and rip it retrieve can work when bass are lethargic or in a negative mood. The idea is not to give the fish a chance to eyeball the lure, but the retrieve is so fast it triggers a reactionary strike. And a great and sometimes better alternative to the barn burner is to burn the lure at top speed and then pause in the middle of the retrieve and allow the bass to freight train. So in other words, he's chasing it down and all of a sudden it stops.
Right.
And he just smacks right into it.
And from my perspective, Philip, that the last one, the barn burner, works best for me because most of my fishing, as everyone knows, freshwater is in private pond and the water's clear and they've seen a lot of fish and they've seen a lot of lures. And I like to use any kind of crankbait in bluegill colors.
Yep.
And, man, that grip and rip, I'm ripping it right across the top of the grass. It'll get them. It'll get them.
And then the one that we didn't talk about, of course, we're talking about lipped crankbaits.
But right.
What we didn't talk about is your topwater baits.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of different retrieve. You can still use sort of the same variation when you're using a topwater bait.
Yeah.
You know, you can kind of bump it into stuff, or you can do, you know, the most common topwater retrieve is going to be a walk the dog, where the bait's going to switch
back and forth,
and you impart a cadence to the lure.
Yes.
And kind of give it that walking action, and all of a sudden you stop, especially if you see something.
Yes.
If you're doing a walk the dog and you suspect there's a fish eyeballing it, just stop.
Right. Or you can actually sight fish sometimes and use that same procedure.
Or you can, you know, you can do a little pop or whatever. So there's a lot that you can do on your end of the line and make that bait work even better.
I agree. Grip it and rip it.
Let's go to our break. Then when we come back, we're going to talk with Kaylin Harbin. She's the promotions associate here at Cabela's. And we'll talk about some of the great sales events they got this weekend and coming up next weekend.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, live at Cabela's, 1063 WORD, the Upstate's number one talk station. Stay tuned. Firewoman's going to take us on to the next break.
And we're back. Upstate Outdoors is on your radio. We're coming to you live from the Cabela's in Greenville on lovely Woodruff Road over here in the, what's the name of this company?
Magnolia Park.
Magnolia Park. I never can remember that. It's Springer's No Help.
Kaylin, how many times have you had to straighten him out in the last 2 weeks?
Just a couple.
Yeah.
Oh, well, see, he was talking bad about himself.
Mostly about providing electronic support.
I was IT, backup
stuff like
IT.
That. So we got to welcome Kaylin Harbin. You are the promotions
Marketing and events coordinator, yeah.
That's what I meant.
That's the fancy name.
That's the marketing and events coordinator here at Cabela's. So you'll see her running, or you probably won't see her because she's running around behind the scenes and make sure that everything goes on. And, Kaylin, you have been just busy, not just this weekend, but looking back over the Christmas holidays when you had the Santa Claus here.
Oh, Santa was here from the first weekend in November all the way until Christmas Eve, every single day.
And who knew so many people wanted to come to an outdoors store
to see Santa.
See Santa Claus.
Well, we had that whole workshop, and it was free. Everything was completely free, so you got to see Santa and do crafts and games and everything for free.
And so you hit on that?
And just so you know, Santa Claus has been catching plenty of trout lately.
Oh, yeah.
But, hey, they had more than one Santa running for
well,
that event.
I'm just saying, that's Santa I know, okay?
Yeah.
Santa Sam.
But now we're going to do the Easter Bunny.
Yeah.
Oh,
in
really?
April coming up. Yeah,
in April.
In April.
Are we going to hide eggs in the store?
You know, I don't know yet. I don't know all the details with what's going to go, but I know we have the Easter Bunny for two or three weeks.
That would be great. Have an Easter bunny here. We hide and find Easter eggs. And then I have a rabbit on the Roadkill Cafe.
Yeah, there you
it's
go.
It's a perfect combination.
Yeah, if we come out here during the Easter show, we're going to have rabbit on the Roadkill Cafe.
Gosh.
Well, in the immediate, we're wrapping up the Crappie Madness. How's the response been on that?
It's been, I mean, you've seen how big the seminars are. I mean, the first 25 get a free gift, and I'm running out of gifts. So you have a lot of people coming for the Crappie seminar on that Friday night. You know, a lot of people wouldn't expect a Friday night to be as busy as it was. We had 43 people.
It 43 last night?
Golly, Philip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really surprising. Last weekend we had about 34, 35 show up on Friday night. And, of course, Saturday was nice outside, so you kind of expect the attendance to slow down.
I think they were all fishing
they were all out on the water. And then we had pretty good attendance. I didn't get numbers this morning.
Yeah, you had more than 25 because I gave away all the stuff, but I was running around too. So
let that be a notice to you. We got one more seminar coming up at 2 o'clock, right at the end of today's show. I'm trying to save a little bit of a voice for that. But if you want to get one of the free prizes from Cabela's, you need to get here a little bit early.
Yeah, and it's the only way to enter to win that boat, too, is to come to the seminar. So your chances are really, really good to win. Yeah, because you could have to go to a seminar to get it.
So we've got that wrapping up the Crappie Madness this weekend, and then we jump straight into the
Spring Fishing Classic. Yeah, Bass Pro, it's their biggest ad of the year, and now that we are Bass Pro too, it's going to be our biggest ad of the year, and it is caked with activities, rod and reel trade-in. That's when we do our live fish where the kids.
So we're going to set up the.
So Springer can come catch another limit of fish.
Now Springer said he would volunteer for a fish gigging seminar, and he could stand over the pond with his gig. So if you're interested in that,
I don't listen to him.
Yeah, some little kids over here like, look, Tommy, you're about to catch your first fish ever. Psych. Hey, kid, here you go.
Where's the grill?
Yeah, where's the grill at?
Do free samples the same day. We can do that.
You know, that's what we need to do because starting at 1 o'clock today with the Crappie Madness, we're going to have free fish samples.
Flounder, too.
Is it flounder?
2 o'clock.
Oh, was it 2 o'clock? Oh, because we had to wait until Springer got off the air. So, right?
Yeah.
You got a bunch of aluminum pans and some Thousand Island dressing and some paprika?
Yeah, maybe that, too.
Yeah.
There's paprika. I helped make the mix. We're using the Uncle Buck stuff too, but
Gordon, I was talking to Gordon earlier and he was like, hey man, we got some flounder for you, Springer.
There you go. So you come out here and are you gonna be frying up fish?
No man, I'm just gonna stay out of the way and eat a couple pieces and let these people do what they do. These people are doing just such a great job here.
Well, the cool thing next weekend, the big promo is you can enter for a chance to win a fishing trip with a pro angler, and not just any pro angler.
Casey.
It's our local.
Oh, my gosh.
It's our local.
Can I win that?
I think you'd kind of be disqualified by association.
I had to ask. Okay.
But it's presented by 40 Creek Premium Canadian Whiskey, so it only gets better for Springer, right?
Golly, maybe I can get some whiskey out
can
of
you
the deal.
Can you imagine Springer on the back of Casey Ashley's boat? What, a case of whiskey?
I can see it, man.
I can see him balling off the back.
No. It sounds like utopia, okay?
Casey would be like, Springer, you not going to fish? Nah, man, I'm good. I'm good.
I just like watching you, Casey.
Yeah.
Have me another bottle.
I'm going to sit back here and just watch you fish, man. Y'all go wherever you want to go.
Wow.
So as far as the you also got some have we got somebody set up for the local pro seminars
yet? We actually have a few different guys that are local. They do FLW tournaments. They do our local lakes, so they're going to give you information about stuff that you're going to be fishing here in South Carolina.
Do we have names? Do we know who we got lined up yet?
So for the Lowrance seminar, that's going to be Paul Geddes, and he's going to teach the one that Friday night, February the 15th, about how to program your depth finder.
I need to come to that. I got a little ranch unit. All I know how to do is push the button. I have figured out how to make my iPhone play music through it.
That's a step.
That's improvement.
But as far as anything else, I need to talk to Paul about that.
Yeah, well, he'll be here Friday and Saturday doing those two seminars. Kim Neal, he's retired, but he's a professional fisherman that does a lot on Lake Hartwell.
Uh-huh.
And he'll be here teaching some of the seminars about line, what type of line to use. And then he's doing the casting, spinning, or the spin cast outfit. So that's on February the 17th, the Sunday. And then we have Donnie Davis, who fishes FLW, and he travels a lot. He's coming in just to do the rig building seminar that Saturday on the 16th.
The rig building, talking about different ways to rig baits, or are we talking about boat rigging?
Well, no, the baits, so jig, specialty rigs.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, jig fishing.
Yeah.
Awesome. So you're going to be a busy girl for the next foreseeable future.
Forever. Yeah, every weekend we've got something going on. So.
And we ain't even got to turkey season yet.
Yeah.
I know. And so turkey, we're actually trying to get some turkey. The NWTF is supposed to be here March 2nd and 3rd,
right.
Saturday and Sunday. But we also have the live fish going on. We've got a bunch going on.
So I'm just brainstorming here. I got an idea. We could maybe catch a few live turkey and let them loose in the store.
I like it.
And then Springer could go hunt them because
he can talk to them.
Yeah.
I can talk to them.
Do you need a call or can you do it yourself?
Okay,
how
do
we
know.
Go?
All right.
Okay. The only problem would be turning Springer loose in the store with a shotgun.
Yes.
That might present a little bit of a problem.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would be safe.
So what kind of specials? What's the best special that you got as far as, I mean, it looks like all the tackle's on sale.
It
every
is.
Single, if it's fishing, if it's marine, everything's on sale. It's the rod and reel trade-in. So if you bring in a working rod or reel, because we donate these afterwards, you can use that to get a brand new one and get a discount off of a brand new one. And that is on like a pyramid of what expensive rod you're getting or how expensive it is. I mean, that's how much you're getting off on it.
So you'll have a rod and reel broker here? So one of the guys back in the fishing department say, yeah, that's pretty good. We'll give you a mid-tier pricing?
Well, it depends on what rod or reel you're going to buy. So if it's like there's like a range. So a $30 to a $48.99 reel is $5 off, and it goes up to there, up to $100. You can get
that's
$100
awesome.
Off of it.
And who
brand-new.
Do y'all donate the ones that are turned into?
So
Boys
it's a
Club?
Local pro. Last year we did YMCA.
Wow,
we did
that's
local,
so nice.
Yes,
yeah,
so
yeah.
A local
awesome.
Nonprofit, I mean. So
sure.
Mm-hmm. We haven't picked the one for this year yet, but last year it was the YMCA because they have the outdoor program.
Sure.
So
that's
it'll
fantastic.
Be for kids, yeah.
Yeah,
pass
that would
on.
Be awesome.
Pass
might,
it
that
on.
Might be worthwhile. I think DNR's got a tackle loaner program. I don't know how well funded they are or mm-hmm. established, as far as tackle, but I'm sure there's all kinds of nonprofits that would love to have fishing tackle.
Yeah.
And most of it's geared towards getting kids involved in
exactly.
fishing.
Yep.
So, yeah, if y'all'd open that pond up, we could do something
just
right
let them
there.
Fish.
Exactly.
Let people
let them
fish in
the pond.
Yeah.
Where
you going to do that? You going to bring the pond out here in the middle of the store again?
Yep, right in the middle of the store, right in front
it's
of the mountain.
Sit right in the middle of the aisle, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's awesome, dude.
Yeah, we got bigger fish this year. I don't know if you remember, but they're a little bit smaller. So
yeah.
It's 6 inches plus.
Yeah.
Nothing smaller than
six. Yeah, I took a handful of them out of here that y'all had last time, and I caught some nice bass at the pond. On
yeah.
Them.
So we had bait fish last night.
Just saying.
Well,
that's how I roll.
We
he's
tried
lying.
To, we tried to do better.
I'm lying.
He's lying. If it's over 6 inches, he took them home and ate them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. And like I said earlier, Kaylin, the tackle shop and what's been done back there is
it's
unreal.
Double. Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, I'm sitting there watching Philip do a seminar, and I'm looking around. I'm like, going, man, this has come a long way.
Yeah,
dude.
And we had to move a lot of stuff out of the way temporarily
right.
to do the seminars. Are you maybe going to build on that trend and have your folks doing the seminars
mm-hmm.
there?
When Paul came in, Paul Geddes, that's doing the Lowrance, he saw your setup. He came in just to talk to me, and he loved it. He said, yeah, let's do it here because people can walk by if they didn't know about it and just join in. Because you've seen that. You'll have people, they start off standing, and they're like, oh, this really is interesting. And
they just
sit down in the chair. Yeah,
exactly.
So it grows.
We might, I haven't had any as far as the audio and we pull out the big screen TV. I had to learn PowerPoint 2 weeks ago to set up my PowerPoint to do my presentation. Never done PowerPoint. I've been on a lot of them. I've slept through a ton of them.
Right, I get
that. And then I have to do my own PowerPoint, and I'm like, and Kate's like, you should have just sent me the pictures. I could do it. And
you
I'm
did
like,
great.
Now you tell me.
You did great, man.
Right.
I mean,
so,
when you're talking about something that you're passionate about.
Yeah.
The other stuff just kind of falls in place.
Yeah, and it's been a real cool experience. And like I said, getting back to the location there in the tackle shop, that has been awesome.
Yeah.
And not only that, but you've got a lot of associates there that are on hand. And when the seminar breaks up and somebody's got a question fresh on their mind.
Mm-hmm. They go straight to them.
They
right
go
then.
Straight to that area versus having to walk across the store and stuff like that.
No, that's been great, too. I think we'll do that probably with every type of seminar now. Just put it in the department.
There you go.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So maybe on the cart you could put my name on it. Is it like
I like
Philip
it.
Gentry Memorial.
I like it.
Audio-visual cart.
I like it.
So, yeah.
I like it.
Looking forward to Crappy Madness next year coming back.
Yeah.
And also, I got to thank you a lot because I've been sponsored by B&M Poles coming out here to do this seminar, but you folks have done a great job with helping to promote it.
Awesome.
On social media and also, I'll be back here hanging around in the store and I'll hear it come over the loudspeaker.
Yeah.
Our crappy pro Philip Gentry.
It's
I'm
cool.
Like, who?
It's cool, man. I love it.
And then they say, and his sidekick Tommy Springer will be here on Saturday from noon to 2 p.m.
I had a text this morning, and they was talking about, oh, yeah, blah, blah. I said, look, man, look, Phillip's the pro of the show. I'm just there for entertainment purposes.
I just got the NASCAR uniform. That's it. They give you the NASCAR uniform.
I did like that.
Tell people you're
a
pro.
That's beautiful,
and
man.
Get by with it.
It's awesome. But.
Well, Kaylin, what else is going on in the store that folks need to know about?
Well, just know that every weekend there's something going on. We're doing fried fish samples again on February 23rd. Right now with the Spring Fishing Classic, there's so much with all the seminars, all the kids' activities. With the kids' activities on that March 2nd and 3rd, we'll have the photo opportunity where the kids can look like they're on the front of a fishing magazine.
Oh.
And everything's free. So it's going to be huge. It's really family-oriented, something for everybody in
right.
the family, whether you're an adult or a kid just learning. So
what do you have, like a fish that they can hold up in the picture? Or how does that
work?
We
can make that happen. What they do is they stand in front of a background, and then we have like a little iPod that takes the photo, and then it gets downloaded to them to their email. So that'll put the little magazine, the fishing magazine, right in front of the kids. So it looks
wow.
really cool.
Mm-hmm. I might have
That's
to come
awesome.
And get my picture.
Yeah, Spring, I was saying we can work Springer in there some way.
Yeah.
Wow,
Pond,
that's fantastic,
Caleb. Can you name the magazine like you make up funny names like Pond Fishing Masters?
Yeah, Pond Fishing
Masters. Pond
Masters.
And have Tommy Springer's picture on the front of there.
The Elite Pond Fishing Magazine.
Or you could do it like that Garden and Gun magazine,
exactly.
And you could have Pond and Tap.
I like
that.
That
would be Springer be on the cover,
you're always
boy, of Pond and Tap.
You're always thinking
it actually
outside
just
the box.
Says Kids Fishing Weekend.
Okay.
So
we're just curious.
All right, well, we'll work on that. Well, Kaylin, thanks for being on the show with us,
yeah.
And thanks for all the support
and
having us out here. And if you folks are in the area and want to come out, you got one more opportunity to attend the Crappie Fishing Seminar, which I'm putting on, thanks to Cabela's and B&M Poles, and that's going to be from 2 o'clock, as soon as we get off the radio here, until they've been running about 45
yeah.
minutes, and a lot of good questions coming
mm-hmm.
up. So this will be the final time if you got some questions that you want to ask, and still a good selection of Crappie Fishing Tackle
yeah.
is going to be out there. I was looking through the aisles this morning, a lot of good stuff, so... Hey, look, we kind of got a break on the weather here, so you need to get back into stock-up mode and get ready. Because it's coming. It's going to happen,
yeah.
And it's going to be a good
–
we got a lot of water in our area lakes, and there's going to be some good fishing this spring. So you need to come on out here and get stocked up. So thanks for being on the show with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
She looks exhausted,
I didn't know
man.
If it was going to commercials. All right, guys.
Yeah, let's go to – hey, now that you mention it, let's go to a commercial break.
Thank you for everything you've
done, thank you, guys.
Thank you. Let's State Outdoors, live at Cabela's, right here, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Come by and see us. Talk to the pro. That would be Phillip Gentry, not me. Be back in a minute.
Well, if you're a waterfowl hunter, waterfowl season ended a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Usually goes through the end of January. And about the time that the waterfowl season got over, the federal authorities decided, based on their numbers, to do a little tweaking of the limits. And it's got some duck hunters up in arms, so to speak, because the plan is to drop the creel limit or the bag limit for mallard ducks. Got this off of carolinasportsman.com. It says duck hunters in the Carolinas who love to see mallards lock up as they approach the decoys will have to be satisfied with a daily bag limit that's 50% lower when the 2019-20 season arrives next fall. That's a word from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Atlantic Flyway Council, which has announced that hunters along the Atlantic Flyway are facing a 2-bird daily limit on mallards, and that's down from 4 birds, and with 1 hen allowed in the daily bag limit. And that has not changed. It was always 1 hen and 3 males, and now it's just going to be 2, so you can get a brace, a hen, and a drake would be your allowed bag limit. A long-term decline in the population of eastern mallards has led to the bag limit changes. Sally Yanuzzi, the waterfowl biologist for North Carolina North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission, said the number of mallards on the Atlantic Flyway has been dropping about 1% a year over the last 20 years. So that's at least a 20% drop there. Right. We're not sure why yet, but that's behind the limited bag limit. We expect the issue is breeding productivity, but by dropping the bag limit, we make sure it's not related to hunting. So they don't know if that's going to solve the problem or not, but they just want to make sure that hunters aren't taking more out of the population. They have compared these numbers to the way black ducks dropped back in the 1990s, and those numbers were very scary low. Now, mallard numbers do remain high in other regions. Yanuzi said the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services is looking at problems in mallard's breeding grounds in eastern Canada and the northeastern United States. She said mallard numbers on the Mississippi Central and Pacific flyways remains high. The population, which is about 10 million birds, is larger than any other North American duck species. And that's saying something.
That's a lot.
Especially when you're looking at teal, and I would think that the northern shoveler, because anytime I've ever been out in Mississippi, man, we just get eat up with shovelers. I would think that their numbers would be the most highly populated
Kajillion.
Bird. Yeah. Around here, it would be the
Canadian snow
carp.
Yeah,
well, that's a whole different one there.
Exactly.
Although the eastern mallards are declining, they occupy a smaller percentage of the Atlantic flyway harvest than elsewhere. Also, the breeding habitat of eastern mallards is distinct from other major species important in the Atlantic flyway. And she says if you looked at the estimate of breeding mallards and breeding mallard habitat in the central flyway in a given year, it'd be pretty descriptive for all prairie nesting ducks. That's according to John Denvey. But mallards are less appropriate surrogate for the habitat and breeding biology of the important eastern ducks considered in the multi-stock harvest strategy. I have no idea what
that
means.
That's some serious language.
Basically,
right,
what they're saying is they don't have as many mallards as they do have other ducks. I tell you what.
What is your thoughts on it? Because that's the first person that came to my mind when I seen this and was reading that. I was like, man, well, I would like Phillip's pure
that's
thoughts
nothing,
on
that's
it.
Nothing new. Okay, right. The mallards that we have on the Atlantic Flyway, generally speaking, the ones that people kill are resident mallards.
That's my point.
You know, they're I won't call them ditch ducks because that's the white duck.
Right.
But the mallards that I've seen and I've taken, with the exception of the last season of the year, I mean the last week of the year,
right?
That's usually when you hear about people killing migratory mallards. But what you're doing is you're pushing pond ducks around.
That's exactly right.
You know, because you got these Canada geese that are taking up residence, and you got a certain percentage of mallards that I don't know whether they were released as pets or whatever. But that also brings up another interesting. You know, we had the guys from Tony Creek. Last time we were at Cabela's, and you look at that and go, wow. You know, they're making their living off of released mallard ducks.
Right.
And now their seasons, their numbers are going to be cut in half. So you kind of feel for folks who were relying on released mallards, because just like they were talking about when they were on the show with us, you know, they don't get a break. They don't get to extend their season. Like if you look at something at the Clinton House Plantation where they release quail, they get to extend their season because they're hunting birds that they put out there. And they don't extend that same courtesy.
Power, should they not see in situations like that that these are not birds that are wild? I mean,
well,
you would think somebody, a light bulb would go off in their head.
Well, one thing about that is it's nearly impossible to tell the difference in the air. Now, if you get the bird and you flip it over and look, you could probably tell some subtle differences. But that's not enough to say, well, where did this bird come from?
Right.
Is this a migratory bird or is this a release bird?
Right.
And also, the folks who are releasing mallards don't have the highest pull among wildlife biologists.
Yeah.
Because wildlife biologists have said for years that they're concerned about release mallards, you know, diluting the gene pool, and maybe they're getting, you know, less wild ducks or lesser genetic strain whatever. And then there's also about, well, if you got all these birds that are in captivity or that are hanging out in the same place, the likelihood of spreading disease. So they're not going to get a whole lot of ground from the biologists supporting the release mallard.
Yeah.
So, you know, the South Carolina Waterfowl Association, I would be interested – to hear what some of the folks from the Waterfowl Association, which they are one of the big supporters of release mallards, I'd be interested to hear what they have to say about that.
Well, you know, and I'm glad to hear your perspective on it, because I'm trying to make sense of it all. And from what you've just told me, it really – and I'm not just saying it cleared it up for what was going through my head.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm like, you know –
Well, you know what comes to mind, if I actually talked to Mike Johnson, and they are going to start a duck club this year.
I was going to go there with that.
And I don't know if they're going to rely on release birds like they do with quail. We didn't get that deep into it.
Right.
But my thoughts on that is, okay, so if you're purchasing eggs or you're purchasing ducklings,
right,
then, you know, get some gadwall. Or get some, you know, something else other than the mallard ducks.
Mallards.
You know, you get them white ducks.
Yeah.
They don't fly as good, but they're easier to shoot, right?
I like that.
But then, you know, a lot of folks are, you know, maybe they want to see those green heads fall.
Exactly. And that's one of those things when it comes to duck hunting. It's like a, you know, you start getting into some serious, you know, feelings, emotions when it comes to duck hunting and ducks in general.
And there's a lot of folks who, you know, if they're out hunting wild ducks, especially around, you know, on the Mississippi Flyway and all, they'll tear into you if you say, oh, I'm hunting preserve ducks or release mallards and stuff like that. And they're like, well, they, you know, it's the same old thing. Those aren't wild ducks. They're not even worth the shells that I spend to shoot them with.
Right. It would be amazing what we could get accomplished if we wouldn't bicker amongst ourselves
in
the outdoor industry.
Exactly. And, you know, and that's a good point there, where you got sportsmen tearing each other down for different facets.
For silly stuff.
And all the while, the folks who were anti-hunting.
Laughing.
Are just saying, hey, y'all are doing the job for us.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you know, I support the folks, the biologists who are looking at the population of wild migratory birds that are coming down the Atlantic Flyway, and that's been pretty much a known factor that they're not as populated as they have been,
right,
that there's been a decline. But at the same time, you're looking at areas like this where a lot of, you know, just like the quail. When the habitat goes away or whatever, and you still want the sporting opportunities.
Right.
And so you have the capacity to release the birds. And so long as it's, you know, okay, as long as you're not harming, you know, the native wildlife, then there's got to be some common ground in there. So
I'd like
to see something done along that line.
Right, right. So that's going to – I seen that and I said, wow, I'm really interested to hear Phillip's take on it. So there we go.
We're going to go to the news at the top of the hour, and then we'll come back with the Roadkill Cafe.
Right here, Upstate Outdoors, live at Cabela's on 106.3 WORD. Stay tuned. Back after the news.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.